Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Doriah!
Hallelujah!
Yeshua! Hallelujah! Raised by the mercies of our Abba, this Shabbat, that we are able to gather in the most precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we ask you to pour out among Israel your living Torah, that the life and the power of your imats will saturate and fuel our entire being. We all ask you, Yah, our friends that join us, the Bayit of Israel that are joining us on the live stream, speak to Israel. And your word spoken unto us, if it's reproof, admonishment, exhortation, the muzah, the correction, we are delighted to hear your voice. So we ask you today, HaMashiach, mighty name, bless the ears of the hearers. We may hear what the Ruach, the Yah, speaks unto this Bayit today. We ask all things in Yeshua's name. In the Bayit of Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Look to your friend and say, my Ruach, the strength of Yah, shall supply all we need. Yeshua is your Ruach. Shalom. You may be seated. May the riches of Yah, as we certainly acknowledge Him in all things, for He is the mighty one of Israel, He is the one that stands against the insurgent of hell, a war against the Bayats of Israel. And so may that, the Great One, the Most High, Yahweh, may He be the assurance by His enlightenment, His profound revelation that is revealed unto Israel by the knowledge of His HaMashiach. And so I delight in this Shabbat as I gather to hear from Yah, that the heavens may be open and that He may pour out among Israel a renewing of the Ruach. There's a lively spontaneity. There's a liveliness when He speaks to Israel. As I said in the prayer, as I have looked at many pictures, one particular one of the great grief and sufferings there in the land of Haiti. It is the most impoverished nation in the Western Hemisphere, as they call it. It was a British colony. It was ruled by the British. Slaves that groomed the cotton fields, the sugar cane. It was a commodity product for the wealthy and the rich. And so in 1798 there was a revolt against the most powerful military might in the world at that time, the British Army. And with their crude tools and sharpened spears, they overthrew the British elitists, the powers that be. That they would declare a proclamation of their liberation. Yahshua makes free, they're free. And I believe that. And when the British realized that there was no ability to combat them, I say in our schools they make your children ignorant as hell. Football, basketball, jackasses, they make them. The things that I have learned in the last 30 years, it did not come from school. It was by an indulgence to understand, to learn, and to know. So there are not too many subjects you're going to elaborate on. I may not be thorough, but I will find out the logistics of that in the next conversation. You understand. And so the British supremacy was overthrown. And you had an amalgamation of people from every kind of tribal institution, Africa, and that were just herald together, dialects different, customs, cultural identities, none of that intact. And so the British said, you're free. You have your emancipation. But there's one thing you must do. You must pay for your freedom. So they robbed the little island and stole everything that is precious to the welfare of the people. I have been to some of the islands and I've seen the vast industrial machinery there that rotted in the nations of those countries because they robbed the nation of everything that was worth anything. They set a superficial puppet government, and to continue to strengthen that with their wealth and the elitists and the powerful ones, to continue to suppress a people. When I saw the people standing in waist-high water, there's a doctor from Doctors Without Borders, as the dead carcasses float in the water, he made a statement, and it was one of great sincerity and wisdom. He says, quotes, we are not worried about the dead bodies to identify them. We must save the ones that we can save. Unquote. I think that that's wise. And what that create is the swarm of diseases because of the feces and the filth and the stench. I said to Brother Patrick, Brother Allen, as we were talking yesterday, I said, son, where would you go if this entire community, water is waist deep over the heads of the little ones? If you went to Pageland, it's that way. If you went down here to as far as Florence, it's that way. Where do you walk to? Tell me, where do you go? When the whole place is that way, where do you turn? This nation, which is one that is full of superfluity, falsehood, wickedness. And I am not talking about those that are in control, because we should understand their propensity, their nature, and their desire. I'm talking about those that declare that they are the Zira, the seed, the birth ones, the begotten ones of Yahweh. They're sadistic. They're vile. And they are the most evil people upon the face of the earth. And the reason why? There's a reason. Because there has been no enlightening or the Ur, the Nagash, the mind open unto the liberating power of Almighty Yahweh. That is in the power, the revelation of Yeshua. And that is simply that His words is genuine. It is a sincere application for one's life. They have not been enlightened, for the light of the Most High has not illuminated them. For His da'at, His knowledge, has not filled their minds that they are able to discern and understand what is of Yah and what is not of Yah. We find a people that are so damnable and wicked that their conscience, their mind, their nefesh, their being, that the word of Yah doesn't propel them into a fear that traumatized them. And the reason why? Because their conscience, their wicked, is so seared that the word of Yah cannot penetrate it. I'm talking about your sons, your daughters, your husbands and your wives. And above all, I'm talking to you. Well, Pastor Roberts, you were somewhat lethargic last week. My physical being is as strong as any man. I have no ailments in my physical body. But there are things that take place here and here that weakens a man. Do you understand? It's not that my physical tenacity has been abated. That's not so. It's not my inner joy's effort to declare what the word of Yah says has been smothered. For that shall never be. That shall never be. I shall never allow even my battles that I would succumb to that. Where is Israel? Few. There be that ever find the ore, the light. Yeah. Is one thing that light does, it reveals how weak. As Brother Charles said to me one day, he said, Pastor Roberts, one of the best things, and you get vitamin E from the sun. It's important to the body. I think the older I get, there are things, because I'm getting older, I'm not trying to preserve my physical being, but I want the life of Yeshua to be preserved in me. And he says to me, one thing that is wonderful for the eyes is that you look at the sun, especially in the rising in the morning, not at the fullness of its brightness. I'm saying that because I want to open up a simple truth to us today. And I was out this morning. I had called Brother Allen to walk and simply dialogue somewhat, talk about things that I think that are important to get down around this place. And so while I waited for him, I took the counsel of Brother Charles. And of course, looking at the sun around 7:20, I guess, you certainly could not bear it in our sight or my sight, but for not even a few moments, And so when I began to do that, only twice I did it because my eyes, there were black spots. That my vision was obscured. That I could not see clearly. But I do believe the counsel that he gave unto me. And what I want to express. Now when one truly has the enlightenment of the conversion of Omariah, when Yeshua is revealed unto them, then the things of this life, they become darkened and blackened in one's vision. And there is not a concern for those things. I began to look, Brother Charles, and all I could see were black spots. And that is what the world becomes to one. Shaul was a man of great wisdom and knowledge. He was a scholar beyond PhD performance. He had a brilliant mind that surpassed the minds of this age. Yet he did not have the lights and the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. He was not real. He had great depth of the Pharisaic order, of the doctoral demands of his eloquent of speech, but he had not been enlightened. There was no light of the excellence of Yeshua in him. We may understand texts. We may read. But there is no enlightenment at all. For there is a performance and a change. And the enlightenment of Yahweh through the power of Yeshua HaMashiach is revealed unto Israel. I want to take our attention to a simple account in the book that you despise. That there is no greater hava that the only attention it gets is a little dusting at times. You dust it off because it has sat there dormant. And there has been no careful attention given unto it. There is one by the name of Shaul, Paul, as he presents unto Agrippa his defense of those that say that they are Yehudim, yet they are liars, they are the synagogue of Shaitan. They rail against him to destroy, to bring him down, as he speaks on to Agrippa. And he conveys unto the Goyim, the Gentile, or those that were removed from Yah, the power of this enlightenment, this awe, this light that shines. And that it transforms one into a renewed creature, Yeshua. And he says here in Maaseh Shlishim, the book of Acts, in the 26th verse, I want to begin reading at verse 12. He says that whereupon on the day that I began a journey down the road of Damascus, I was breathing fire. I had the counsel or the rights of the elders to go and to take care of the order that I should do. He says, as I traveled down Damascus, he said, not only did I travel with my might and my sternness, he said, but I had authority. I had authority and commission from the excellent, the chief Kohen. The one that dispenses. The one that has the final approval on the interpretation of the Pharisaic, the scribes, the lawyers, and the doctorate ones when it comes to Torah. He said, I had the command. I had the authority and the seal of the chief in Kohan. I'm glad that I have the seal of the chief one of Israel. His name is Yahshua HaMashiach. And I want him to speak to me by his living truth. And I shall obey what he commands me. He said, I want to tell you that it was at midday, O King Agrippa. He said, I saw in the derek, the way. And the way that I was going was against you. When you're walking in a way that is against your way, and the light of Yahshua does not shine upon you to convince you of your vile, wicked nature, this rasha, criminal attitude, and Yah has removed his ruach, his hands from upon you. Listen to me. I do not care how any of you all receive me. I do not give a damn worth of dog's meat whether you regard me or respect me. It means nothing to me. I've never been a man that desired accolades. To hell with it. I don't need that. And I don't play. I'm not here as the one said to Father Gilbert, I'm not here to banter. I'm not here to speak teasing things to you. I'm not here to banter you. I'm here to tell you the truth. And the truth makes one free. He says, it was midday. As I saw in the derek, the way. As a way that seems right, doesn't it? Unto men. But the way leads to death. No ahava for Torah, for truth. When a man has the enlightenment of Yahshua, you see it upon his expression. Listen to me. Not with your damn silly laughter. I despise that, especially in men. This continuous laughter, I hate it. I said to Deacon Horn as we were dialoguing, we walked yesterday. We're in the house and I said, Deacon Horn, you must realize in my days when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, we had a thing that we call by our slang vernacular, the dozens. And you did not play the dozens. The dozens was when one talked about one's mother or father. You didn't do that in the community that I grew up in. You did not play the dozens. That's what they call it. The dozens. But I said to him, even as a young 20-year-old, ignorant, silly man. When I was in Germany, there was a man, his name, and I'll never forget. His name was Herbert Ziegler. And he had this propensity, this character. Everything was funny. Always laughter. And he liked to play. And I recall one day I said to him, I said, homeboy, I don't play and I don't go that way. Now, if you want a toy, you write home to your mama and tell her to send you a toy. He became ballistic then. I said, homeboy, I will tell you. I was not intimidated by him. By the way, he did knock me out. We became the best of friends. He knocked me out. He was big even then. I was only about 175 pounds. I was muscular though. Zig was about 6'2", 2:10. I said to him again, you write home and tell your mama to send you a teddy bear. Because I don't play, I don't go that route, homeboy. Even as a wicked man, I was, my conscience, my concepts were more serious. When I said that, he became very ballistic, ready to fight and everything. If I had not been in the military, we call one another homeboys. From the same state, they were your homeboy. If it had not been for the homeboys and us gathering, it would have been a battle there. He probably would have whipped the fire out of me. And after that, he came with a need. He had a need. I gave him $100. I said, don't worry about it, homie. Your mother has a need. You sit at home. And that created a bond. And of course, one day we were in the gym because I used to like boxing the boys from Philly and California and knock them out. And so Ziggy, he was a strong lad back then. I said, come on, Ziggy. He said, come on, bro, Rob. Nah, come on. I don't want to do that. Said, come on, homeboy. Come on, Ziggy. We called him Trash Can. He had a tremendous head. And I put those gloves on with Ziggy. Of course, I was quick. I could box. Steel can. And Ziggy, he dropped that head to the side and he had long arms. His arms were longer than mine. And I'm pecking away at his head. And all of a sudden, there was a jab that he threw that I did not see. And it landed. I did not just fall when he hit me. It was about a 2-second delay. And my knees and everything just like that. He threw off the gloves because he was desperately concerned. Of course, I was too. I threw them off too. And said, this, I can't go this way. Ezekiel. And so what I'm saying in that analogy, we are not here for trivial things. I'm not here to play a game with us. In the way of Yah, it is serious. It changes a man's countenance when there is enlightenment. The things he once did, his personality is not the same. I'm not the same man I was 2 weeks ago. As a young 20-year-old lad, ignorant, I knew that I wasn't right. But I said, yeah, I will serve you. And I will live honorable before him. That has been the striving of this man's heart. When I come to truth, I abandon everything. One asked me, you talked in the name of Jesus. Are you ashamed of that? I said, I am not ashamed. But I will correct every matter with vengeance and force. Nor I have spoken and perpetrated on the basis of lies. You see, that's what Shaul did. He was in the derech, the way that seemed right. Our ways seem right. What we do, it seems right. Our attitudes seem right. But they bring damnation upon you. Because when you're in the way of Yahweh, the word of Yah always speaks to us. Before he will allow us to go astray, he will afflict us. You without any kind of excuse. I will not compromise with not one iota of sin. I will not. Man said to me yesterday, Eddie Plowler, we've purchased a somewhat wild turkeys, bronze. It's not like this trash you buy the store. He says to me, we listened to you over at the sale on Saturday. He says, there was a fellow listening with me one Saturday. And he says to Eddie Plowler, in essence, I got to get away from the station because everything that this man is saying He's stepping on my toes. No, I want the sword of Yah to rip our wicked, damnable hearts and to destroy you. Yah hates silliness and silly simple men. Some of you all think you know me, but you don't know this man. You take my tenderness for weakness. I'm not a cowardly weak man. You forget that. I will stand on this. Hallelujah. And so he was in the direct the way. That seemed right. His way seemed right, did it not? He went with authority. The might of the chief Kohen, the high priest, to take vengeance on those whose lives were reflecting his dismal life. He was not walking in the birth of Almighty Yah. The word always begat or begat us. The word always begat, it brings us. There are things that I cannot do because the word begats me. We are begotten of the Abba. So the word always goes and gets us. That is the begotten or the begat. It is the begator of Yah. Did not Yeshua come from the Lord's house? Israel? Is he not the word of Yah? So the word always does that. So he was in the way that seems right. The way that he delighted in. And he was breathing the fire of his ignorance. When a man sins willfully, after one has received enlightenment, there's no forgiveness. There's the offering for his sins. He said, I saw in the way a ore, a light from the Shemayim. He said it was above, it exceeded the brightness of the sun, the brilliancy, the power of it, that the magnitude of the sun could not even exemplify the brightness of that light. He says, shining round about me and them which traveled with me. He said, and when we were fallen to the earth, it is one thing that when the light of Yeshua shines, it will break your savage, wicked ways. We're like beasts. There's no love for Yah. We don't love His commandments. We're ignorant. We're destroyed because we lack the da'at. The da'at, the knowledge. Because we reject da'at. When Yah speaks to you, you reject it. When He tells you how vile, how wicked, rasha, the criminality of your mind, you reject it. You reject that. Because it's not for you. And I speak to you, heathens, it is not for you. He speaks unto Israel. Yeshua HaMashiach speaks unto Israel. And so Shaul was Israel. So when this light or the brightness of the word of Yah shone, the only thing they could do was humble themselves. When the word, the light of Yeshua shines for one's heart, you will bow down. You will fall prostrate. That you that are so damnable in this place, you're full of hypocrisy. That you that have never seen the expression of Yah even flow from you. Never. 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 Never seen in expression. Never. 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 Never seen the expression. I tell you all this, if I leave this week, you better have a man here that's going to stand with strength. All you brothers have strength. It takes a man of
strength. Do you understand? Your emotional triviality is not going to do it. Must be a man that authoritatively, as Shaul, speaks to a house that's rebellious, has no ability to discern the power of Yah. He said, we fell down to the earth. And I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in a Ibrim or a Avrim, a Hebrew tongue. He did not speak in some damn Greek language. He says in Maaseth, Shalicia, 26:14. The voice spoke in the tongue of the Aramaic, Hebraic language. It did not speak in English. It did not speak in German. It did not speak in Yiddish. It spoke in the Hebrew tongue. Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to offer against me this worthless resistance. I'm not going to read the entire dialogue. You read it. Yeshua says that your resistance that you're offering against me, that there are us that will come here and sit, and your mind is closed from hearing the correction. It is your vile wickedness that has shut your ears. Yah says, you that have the Ruach, you hear what the man of Yah speaks. The messages that were sent by Yahkahanan were sent to the messengers of the house or the bayit of those houses that they were dispensed to make sure that the message of truth was delivered and the correction was delivered unto them. So you hear what the messenger. It is worthless for us to kick against what Yah says. You see the light shone. It shone from Hashemayim. There's one thing about this light of Yahshua. It exposes every darkness. Because this is a callous hearted generation. It's wicked. I am not talking about what the world is doing. They're doing what they're supposed to do. I'm talking about those that say they are Hava, that you love Him, that you have a great delight in His Imat, where the light shone upon Him. You can read the analogies of Shaul, his whole life, his character, everything changed. When this light shines, as the old Ke'ushim would say, they didn't know. Whether they were in the Baptist whorehouse, the Pentecost, they would sing the songs, the things that I once did, cannot do them no more. Since Yah laid His hands on me, the places, the way I walk, the way I talk, cannot do those things because they're not a part of my analogy anymore. This is a generation that you all are so corrupt. You kick against Yahshua what He says. Oh, I'm going to get into the depths of this. Listen to me. It makes no difference. I don't give a nickers what the rat's dung or his hips. What any of you all think. If I am false in this analogy, you say to me, cast yourself out of here, you heretic. And I will go today. I will not take anything. I will be all right. You understand. I will be all right. But if I speak the truth, you better hear it. In the way we do so many things that are against Yah, that are wicked. I want to show all you sisters, you brothers that purport the lies of corruption, that you continue to be embellished You walk in those things, you rejoice in them. I want to read you something. And this is from the educational knowledge of historians, men of wisdom concerning the natural things. You do practices around here in this place, you're going to stop. Your damnable birthday cakes, your wickedness. I want to read us something. We are an ignorant jackass people. I want to show you what it's all about. We're stupid as hell because we're ignorant and we will not hear. I want to read something to us. Birthday cake history. History of the birthday cake can be traced back to the ancient Greek who made round cakes like the moon shape. They were honey cakes, bread to take to the temple of Artemis, the moon god. Well, who is Artemis? The children of Zeus and Leto, these are Olympians. And the gods of the Olympians are great. You think you're walking in the way, but you're walking in every kind of pagan damn practice like Shaul. I will curse any cake. I will spit on it. Don't give me that damn curse. You curse the minds of your children, you ignorant as hell. You don't know because you're busy doing nothing. And you kick against the prick. You kick against anyone that tell you your damn wickedness. I am an unlearned man. But I've always had a ferocious appetite to learn. As a young child, I had an appetite. I'm glad that Yah stepped in on that. Because I would have been an ignorant man. I'm ignorant now. But I would have been ignorantly arrogant. I'm glad he did. I was an exceptional student. They wanted to send me to a school of children. But I was in the 7th, 8th grade. A special abilities and talents. And even then I had the conscience to say, no. I'm poor. My mother cannot buy me clothing. I will be mocked. I will be ostracized. As I will stay with these that are like me, poor and have little. And so this Artemis, she is at the birth of the Olympian Zeus and Leto. And Apollyon were born in the Isle of Delos. Both are associated with the bow. Apollyon is said to use the curved bow, and Artemis used the silver bow. She is one of the only three who are immune from the enchantment of Aphrodite. And that has to deal with the sexual filth and the lust that permeates your televisions. You engage into these little subtle deceptions of God worship. And you get pissed off if you correct it. And you think you're doing right. You're full of your wickedness. You feed the damn stuff to your children. I know what the candles are for, all of it. The round shape, it is important that they be shaped round. And most folks are just bent that they be shaped that way. There's a reason for it. The candles too. It is an offering unto the goddess Artemis. We're fat and greedy. What we need a cake for? We need the living bread, the leshem of Yah. I don't care if you don't like me. I say things for you to get angry. I say for you to rise up. I want you to. That's all right. Who's on your side? You will stand with. I will, my brother. She is a friend to the mortals. And that's what we are. We are mortals. She's a friend. She's danced through the countryside in her silver sandals, giving her divine protection to the wild beasts, particularly the very young. She rides her silver chariot across the sky, shoot her arrows like the slither of moonlight to the earth below. She is like the other Olympians, has favor among the mortals. See, she has our favor, not mine's the dog. And so we continue to incorporate her mythical form. That's why you parents with these damn dolls, I've warned you. And you're wicked as hell. You're twisted in your damn minds. You vile children of hell. The Russia, the wicked. Blatantly defy Yah. Yah's not playing, young son. He's angry with the wicked. Who are the wicked? Those that Russia, that defy what he says. To hell with your emotions. I don't give a damn about my emotions. They trick you. They pimp you like a pimp pimps a whore. You're unstable. You lie, you cheat, and you steal. Because you open yourself unto Artemis and the gods of the Olympians. She has favor because we continue to offer the little cakes, the round cakes, the birthday treats. To hell with the birthday. And barak Yah that I see another day. Because tomorrow's not promised. So damn a birthday. Damn your birthday. Well, I will get to the text, sister. But this is part of the way. You understand? I know my grammar is not the most magnanimous, but that's all right. I say things to stir us. But she could not be protected from the fine huntsman. It was one by the name of Zakmandros, from his spear of Melinos and the battle for Troy. Now listen to this. Listen to me. Unlike her brother Apollon, Artemis is not skilled in witchcraft, but she can punish and kill at the will of Zeus. She doesn't have the power of the witchcraft or the turning away one from the Emet, the truth of Yah, like Apollon. But she has the power by the will of Zeus to bewitch the minds of the people, that you hear this and you still indulge into these things as you have learned this. And because of your own wickedness, you defy Yah. That's a Rasha, that's a wicked criminal unto Yah. Oh, I will not stop. Hallelujah. I will not do it. And they bring you this damn trash because she's two. And you eat the damn trash, not me. I curse it. I curse it in Yahshua. Damn Artemis. Damn the cakes. I eat only one bread. And that is the lesson, the living bread, the word of Yah. You're such a people we are. And our minds have been so twisted. Brothers and sisters, it is one thing. There's so much that I could preach. I get very weary. Because there's so much. I don't know a lot. But there are a lot of things that I do know. That I want to teach us. But our minds are not ready for it. I was listening to one other day. And they were talking about how the foods have been so altered. And actually, it is adding more amino acids and things in our bodies. That's how those men, these massive, huge men, in what we call bodybuilding, that's not natural. I am a very physical man with muscularity. But it certainly hasn't come from that. It's just a genetic form. Because when I met the man that's my natural father, I can't see why. Because he's a very massive man. So it is a genetic prerequisite that I had in the beginning. But these men load themselves with amino acids and hormones. Come on, I'm getting old. I'm 53, but my body is not like his body. My strength is not like his body. Come on. I said to Brother Patrick, the young brothers at 27, that's a man's life of his most powerful functionality. And from that it goes down. That's a fact. And so they load their bodies with these aminos and these different hormones and all kinds of drugs that will basically excrete every ounce of fat. You see with this muscular formation on the stomach. But that's all superficial. It's false. It's not real. Fat is going to be on our bodies. We need layers of fat. We must have fat. And so man's stomach, it is youth, maybe, but it's not going to be like that. And they're adding so many derivatives to our foods that is actually altering. It is actually breaking down the immune system, diseases and sickness, and opening up the door of, according to the heathen way. And that's why there are many sickly among us. There are many that are weak, and there are many that are dead. For we will not take heed to Yah. He told us not to learn their practices, to learn their ways, and we have learned their ways. It was in the book of Marcus, Luke, where Yahshua dealt with the Pharisees and the scribe. He called them, he says unto them, you are they which yourself, or you justify yourself before men. We justify ourselves. We give a reason for everything we do, and which he's only three, or he's only four. We justified. He said, but Yahweh knows your levim. He knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men, it is an abomination in the sight of Yah. It is highly esteemed among the world, then you do not practice it. You don't do what the world does. And so your little pagan temple worship, you go into your little private temple and you worship. It's wicked. And you don't realize the spirit that you bring upon even this place, that this man of Yah must battle. That his mind must be confronted. And you don't give a damn about no one. I don't care if I touch your wife, you husband either. I don't care if you give $10,000 a week. It doesn't mean a damn thing to me. It's not your money that keeps this place going. When that was $700 a week more than this, the place, it has progressed quite funnily. You're not going to intercede or prevent anything. For Yah has caused the ravens to bring. I hear from a young man in Canton, Ohio. He writes to me yesterday, sends a wonderful offering. And he says to me, Tore Yah, for you, Pastor Roberts. For I can hear the truth. I don't exalt to hell with David Roberts. Let him be damned. But let Yahshua be exalted. He means nothing. I don't promote to hell with David Roberts. Let Yahshua be exclaimed to the highest pinnacle. I want to give you a few more historical factualities. It says, why is the birthday cake round? In earlier times, birthday cakes were mostly round in shape. Scholars, you understand what a scholar is? It is one that has learned it in their expertise in a specific arena. They have discovered the archives, they have dug deep. They understand historical significance. They have studied the ruins or the broken down the buildings and many of the archaeological aspects. That's what a scholar is. It's one that is thoroughly versed with great understanding of the specifics of that matter. It does not say a scholar, but scholars. That is plural, scholars. Associate religious beliefs and technical compulsion for the same. Listen. Greeks offer up round-shaped cakes to the goddess of the moon, Artemis, as it signifies the moon. They even place candles on the cake, which make the cake glow like the moon. Some scholars open that cakes in the ancient world has associated with the annual cycles. Well, the annual cycles with the heathens has always been about religious pontification. The practices of the religion. It has always been that. Round shape of the cakes were preferred as these represent the cyclical cycle of nature and life. Most specifically, the sun and the moon. Have the masses always worshipped the sun and the moon? And the candles are to illuminate it as the light of the sun. Let me read a little farther. Tradition of putting candles on birthday cakes. Tradition of placing candles on birthday cakes is attributed to the early Greeks, who used to place lit candles on the cakes to make them glow like the moon. Greeks used to take the cakes to the temple of Artemis, the goddess of moon. You know, Yah's people are destroyed for the lack of da'at. We are so ignorant. We know how to sin. We know how to commit every vow. Religious act of whoredom. There is. We don't know how to love Yah. We don't know how to receive correction. We are vile. We are stubborn. We're rebellious. Because we don't love Yah. I wish I could use an expression that would cause them to shut down the airways. We're not even a jackass. We are sad. We know how to raise hell. You know how to lie. You know how to steal and cheat. But you don't know how to love Yah. You know how to perform every kind of vow thing. You know how to receive a law and accusation against one another. But you don't know how to love Yah. I am the most ignorant of all men. My mind has always been open to learn when I hear things that I know that I have no conscience or no, it doesn't illuminate me. It's one thing that Evangelist Hartsfield said to me. He was way ahead of his time. He said this to me. I'll never forget. He looks at me in the way that he would always. And he would say, Brother Roberts, that's the way he talked to me. He say, son, I want to tell you, there's nothing hilarious about what I'm saying. So get your damn foolish snickering. That's your problem. If your mind is sober, you will understand the seriousness of this. Even the children don't snicker. I will. He says to me one day, Brother Roberts, everything you see is of significance. And he was trying to show me with the hands held over the head, the educational symbol that is universal. You understand? That's a symbol. It has the shape of a head and hands with something in it. Overhead. That's the universal a signet for education or the brain. But whose hands are these? They're not the hands of Yahweh. These are the hands of Satan. He said, every emblem, everything is of sufficient. My brother, don't you ever forget that. And then when he would tell me things like that, he would say, it was not a mockery. He would express it that way because of the triviality of people and how immature they were. I was 25. I was 24 when I met him. He said, at 25, I have not met men to hell with that. Your age that is wise and understand things. And I've traveled the country, son. But I've never forgotten the things that he told me that were significant and of great value. Never. He talked to no other man like that. He didn't talk to Brother McCoy. I can tell you stories that, and they have great significance. So he said, son, don't take these things for granted. He was the first man to open up to me. I want you to understand about the powers that be. I had never heard that. He was the first man to begin to dialogue on that. It was so profound, not any preacher preaching that.
And so these traditions that we have been given over unto, the Greeks offer round-shaped cakes to the goddess of the moon, Artemis, as it signifies the moon. They even place candles on the cake to make the cake glow like a moon. Some scholars have opted that it is because of the circular cycle of the harvest. And every cycle, like the Christmas, the Halloween, it all has to do with the pagan ritualism of God worship and temple worship. Hallelujah. And so Artemis, once a year you take the cake in the temple, your little private corridor of wickedness, and you eat like hogs and you fill your belly with the husk of the world. I will get back to the way that I intended, my brother. Don't worry. But this must be spoken. You want the ice cream for your fatness and your greed? Why the tradition of putting candles on birthday cakes? Tradition of placing candles on birthday cakes. I read that. In the present time, too, people place candles on birthday cakes. Listen now. And a silent whoosh is made before blowing out the candle. You ever seen that? If that is not the hilt of paganism, there's nothing like it. Blow out the candle, Ashley. Come on. Wicked old 90, you blow it out, Granny. She's wicked as hell. All right. Whoa, Granny. Let the jamming begin. It rocks something that this old fragile wicked thing. Oh, I can do it too. Come on, you old wicked thing of darkness. You ought to be broken on your face before you are. Even they go to their graves offering unto Artemis. If I don't know a thing, I want to understand. We are busy doing nothing because we are full of our own capriciousness. We like to talk. There's nothing that comes out of us. I say this to us brothers as a shame. Where are the strong men? Can I tell you all this before I go further? I'm going to finish. And I say this because it's one thing about Brother Patrick that I sometimes maybe I abuse, but it's not an abusive thing. It is one to bring him to maturation. We were on the other side yesterday, and sisters and brothers, I like for things to be orderly. I like things to be clean. It baffles me when we see things we have no consciousness to straighten it out. It troubles me when I see things filthy. I don't care if it's outside. It bothers me. I said to him, son, this is indicative of one's character, one's nature. Give me a hand. Not only did I clean up the outside of the greenhouse, I went in the greenhouse. It's unorderly. Your water, you leave the hose where you fence. That's not me. I'm not that way. I can take you to my closet and look in it. Oh, I got some things. My little office may not be orderly, but everything is in place. Every shoe horns in there, place, polish. I don't have the polish. I'm just take me a pair down and put it on. I take care of things like that. Every pair of slacks hanging up, everything orderly, organized. I'm that way. I've always been that way. My grandmother taught us that. Sweeping the old earthen ground. When there was no grass.
I said we go inside the greenhouse, we clean it up, because it gives a different aura, different attitude. And so I show the young man things like this, that the excellent of the Ruach of Yah may prevail against all of his immature ways and all of his little boyish attitude, that he may emulate me and follow me. Shaul says to Timothy, you emulate, you follow me, because my emulation has come from Yeshua. Nothing wrong with that. I want him to follow me. And there's one thing about him. He has a cell phone. The one for the community. And he'd rather go or goes out, they can take that telephone. He says to me, Pastor Robert, I don't even know how to use this thing. Because he is one of the few, not one of the few, probably one of only one or two that doesn't interact with the wicked and communing and fellowshipping. He doesn't do it. He's a laboring man, and I appreciate that about him. I'm hard on him, Sister Horn, and I'm not going to stop because of Sister Horn's tears either. You understand? I'm not going to stop. He's a man! And I will confront him that way. I'm saying that. Now, we have allowed our minds, many of you sit here, polluted by every kind of your wicked mammies, your holy sons, your wicked daughters, whereby you have no ability to discern what's right. You can't tell no one what's right, because there's a compromising in you. I compromise with no one, not even my wife. I tell you, sit around too much. Get up. Stop. Stop it. So for me. That's why you got these crazy ass attitudes. Some of you sisters are nutty as hell. I say it that way. And some of you call your men, you're not even men. You're not even punks. You that are listening, you don't have to listen. If this is your first time, this is not the norm. I understand. I speak to you. I got a man's thing. I don't like silly boys. You ask him, is there much laughter and grinning when he and I are together? None. This is a time to be sober and to be serious. Put away your damn offerings unto Artemis. Your mother's, your shaky, fake, weak ways. You put it away. Your daddies that contributed that damn wickedness. You cowardly man. You put it away. You need to grow up and become as men. I was out the other day, Dick and Biddy's. We were talking yesterday. I said, Hannah was talking about the birthdays coming. And it dawned on me that Sister Roberts, she'll be 52 on Sunday. I said, I have forgotten about it. Man, I don't keep up with nothing like that. I really do not. That's the honest truth. I do not mark the calendar Sister Roberts' birthday. Never have. I've never, even when I was in what we call, quote, Christianity, unquote, I never even, she can't tell you that. Well, you didn't buy me anything, baby. What do I buy you? What? For what? You got my lips. That's enough. Let them soothe you here. Mwah. I'd rather be soothed by Yah. Hallelujah. So I've never been a part of that. And so Dickie Bennett said, the cook out on Sunday. And of course I answer. A fool always answers before he hears the matter. And Joe, my juvenileness of foolishness, I answered emphatically, hell no. No. Not because of birthday. Oh, okay. My ignorance. Because I will not be a part of this wickedness. I will sure ha. You all can act like fools over a cake, but you can't worship Yah. You go out of your way to bake something, but there's no sound that comes out of you. And you get excited about little children. And it's nice to do that. But we need the correction of Yah. I said, Deacon Horn and I were sitting out here yesterday. And of course, Sarah was showing off when she was crying. And mother got her switch. Her mother. And of course, I knew she was going to cut them little legs. And I don't like for her to do that when I'm around, taking the house. And so I knew that's what she was going to do. And I called. And of course, when she heard that, I said, you want your daddy? Is your daddy here? And of course, she knew she had the liberty then to move. No, you whip her. I will not tell you not to do that. Just don't do it around me. And so she runs to daddy and she's crying. She jumps on daddy and hugs him. And then he said, there go Poppy there. And she runs, walked on the thing. And she comes to me, Poppy, Poppy. Well, that's the way Yah is. He even judges us with mercy and tenderness and kindness. That we may understand His beauty, that we will repent. I don't expect that little child to do what Brother Joshua Martin does. But unless we all become like that, she understood that there was immunity there, that her sins or that correction was going to be broken. So that's why the tears came. This is the damn wicked generation that has no tears when Yah corrects us. That's why Yahshua said to Shaul, said, come on, don't you know you're kicking against me, you're fighting against me, you're not going to change one thing. For he had his hook in the jaw. Hallelujah. He did not go out to defy Yah and sin against Yah. He did not do that. And so the Greeks used the cakes for the temple of Artemis. And listen now, the smoke of the candles, when they blow it out, the smoke of the candles carry their wishes unto Artemis. It all is significant. Unto Artemis, the prayer, or it takes it to the, your prayers is like a prayer to the gods. It doesn't say just one god, but the gods who live in the sky. Others believe that the customs originated in Germany. My, how corrupt can that be? Others believe that it originated in Germany, where the people used to place a large candle in the center of the cake to symbolize the light of life. Has nothing to do with Yah. Nothing to do with Yahshua. And that's why they have brought that in and to call themselves celebrating this birthday, this hellish, wicked, pagan day of Semiramis and Nimrod. This birth out of the belly of hell. Any birth out of the will of Yah, it is a birth of death and hellishness. That's why the world is doing what they're doing. That's why they're wicked. That's why the women are bitches and hoes and dogs. That's why the young boys are punkish. That's what I said. I don't retract it. There's nothing more vile than that, a dog of a woman or a man. You strengthen the hand of the wicked. I will not. To hell with them. I will strengthen Israel. Listen. I know this woman is going to be with me. Because she needs correction. Hallelujah. If it's only two. I said to Brother Patrick, you don't want me here, I will leave. I will leave. He said, no, that I'm leaving too. I said, then I can't leave then. Then I got to stay with you. Hallelujah. I'm not going anywhere, sister. And I'm not going to die soon either. You understand? Not yet. Got a little work ahead. Hallelujah. Not yet. A few more things before I get back to what I want to. It says, tradition and superstitious belief related to the birthday cake. Of course, if you walk on the ladder, you have 7 years of what they call bad luck. I don't even use the word luck. I destroyed that in my vocabulary when Yah saved me, even though I was ignorant. You don't hear me say that. And I recall I worked at a place where I had to do deliveries. And they would have mirrors that I would have to take into the dump. And of course, they would say, if you break a mirror there so many years, I will break them by the hundreds for price. I want to break them up. I opened an umbrella in my mother. Oh, don't do it. I say, woman, this is my house. So I say, okay, since this is your house. But I would do it intentionally. It's wicked superstition. Blowing out. You blow in their life. See, we don't understand that anything the enemy does, we must look at the reversal effect. You've blown their lives into hell. The smoke of hell, the fire of hell is going to consume them. What do I need, a 53-year-old man, a cake, as fat as I am, blowing out some candles? I need prayer that God gives me another day. You ignorant parents, and he bring your little child 2 or 3 years, you ought to teach it how to pray. Instead of buying this damn Spider-Man and trash, I'm warning you all, get the damn trash out of here. I'm warning you all here. You that are listening to me, I mean what I say. You get the damn trash out of here. You get it out of this place. You don't have to live here. You're going to see some changes here. And I don't care whether you like it or not. You get it out of this place. I mean it. We got to serve you. No, I'm not the Lord, and neither shall you be. You're not going to Lord the place. I'm going to direct us into the pathway of surgery, to the living source of life, Yeshua. You're not going to do that. Let me read this last bit, and I want to get back on track. But this is still on the way that leads us to the enlightenment, the awe, so that the light will shine, that the rays, that the brilliancy of the Ruach of Yah, the seven Ruachim, the spirit of life that flow from the bosom of Yah, his word. So there are traditions and superstitious beliefs related to the birthday cake. In medieval time, people in England used to place symbols like corns, rings, and thimbles in the batter of the cake. It was believed that those who found a corn in the cake, would be wealthy, while the unlucky finder of a thimble would never marry. There have been practices like that. I recall that as a young lad, there were things that people did like that. These are the things that procure wealth or blessings, and they are even more wretched than what they were. Wedding was significant for the person who found the slice of cake with the ring. Even today, some people follow the tradition and place small figures. They place little cars and little things on the cakes for their sons and their daughters, little dolls. You're all for quiet in here. It doesn't frighten me. Not one bit at all. I'm a warrior. I like battling. I like for everyone to be against me. That makes me stronger. I prevail in that. I do better when everyone is cheering for someone else. I feed off of that. I feed off of that. I feed off it. And small figures and figurines, fake corns and small candles on the cake or inside the cake. If a cake fell while baking, you've heard this one, it was considered to be a bad omen. Mama, you're shaking your head up and down. You saying yes or no. That was considered to be a bad omen. Don't walk through the house. This wickedness. Make sure we don't bake no round cakes or bake pancakes. I remember hearing my grandmother say that, and my mother, cake fall, don't do that. I remember those things, brothers and sisters. It signified bad luck for the person in the coming years. One more little thing. There's so many things. Maybe again I'll go over this. Concerning this. Let me stop here because I want to get back on focus. We the people of Yah, there has been a tremendous destruction among us because we are not an enlightened people. And the only way that you're going to be enlightened, you see there, you that will reject this, you will find some room because your way seems right. The you that hear the word of Yah uttered, you continue in the path of wickedness. He's angry with the wicked. Every day he despises the wicked. He hates the Esau's. He despises them. I do too. I hate liars. Don't touch me. I don't like thieves. I don't like those that are so corrupt that their sin conscience, they're not even troubled. They can sit before Yah, and there is no trepidation that they would break and bow and say, Yah, I'm guilty. I despise a dog like that. Even a dog will bark when someone comes. It's not even a dog. It's not even a dog. It's not even a dog. Words that uttered from the mouth of Hoshea. And Yah spoke by this profound utterance, by this Nobi. And a prophet, a Nobi, is one that speaks with the prophetic utterance. And that is the revelation that is pure from the bosom of Yah. And the reality of Yahshua as Yahkahanan was on the Isle of Patmos. And Patmos means a place of death. It means desolation. It means no life. In the midst of a world with no life. In the midst of a Patmos world, Yah still speaks unto his living Zerah, the seed, and the water that flows from the veins of Emmanuel will continuously to water and sprinkle those that are of Israel. I don't intend to speak to the heathens. I don't intend for those that reject Yah to hear me. When one willingly sins, then that one has rejected Yah. Well, his mercies, Yah, he shows his mercies unto those that obey his covenant. He will keep mercy with those generation to generation. You say to Yahshua, to hell with you. He will say the same as he said to Solomon. Long as you obey me, I'll be with you. You forget me, I will forget you. You forsake me, I will forsake you. Yah has not changed. I've always been afraid to do things because the things that even when I was worldly, I was talking with Brother Allen this morning, I just could not do. Even though I was a wicked man, I could not do it. I just could not. The things in my... I could not. I couldn't do that. I just could not. It's one thing, I was always faithful to a friend. Even though they would do me wrong, that's all right, man. And the reason of that, because I always wanted friends. I understood the importance of a friend. I wanted friends. So my friends, I would do things for them. Yet they were not my friends. They were not my friends. I was in high school. I played sports. I didn't have the finest clothes like the Ronald Mitchells and the Tonks and all of them. But it was amazing that their girlfriends always liked me. For what? Nothing fine about me. That's the truth. And yet they will call me and they will do things like that. But I would never, being a hellacious wicked boy, I could have did everything I wanted to with them. Because they were willing to do it. But I couldn't do that. I could not do those kinds of things. I could not. Even though I was wicked, I could not. I just could not. I could not. There were girls that were young when I got older. I couldn't do that. I'm glad too, because I probably have babies everywhere. I just could not. Because Yah had his hands on me, even though from a young lad. I never forget that day. And I knew that that was a power from hell. I saw it as physical as I'm looking at you. I never forget, as a little young boy, I had on a pair of khaki-colored shorts cut off to about my knee. And I had on a blue and white shirt with stripes around it. There was a log, and behind the log, it was a little sweet potato patch that Granny had put vines out there. I remember as a rat, I was stepping the log. To me, it seemed high, but it wasn't probably like this. I went back and saw the shack we lived in. I was amazed how small it was. Oh, my. I thought it was big. I say, wow. But I remember as a young lad stepping on that log at the house. Nobody but me. And the Melikim of Yah around me. And I began to preach, devil, you're going to hell. Quote, God is going to bring you down. He's going to bring you down. I remember that vividly. I've not forgotten. I was barefooted. Remember that. And we stayed in this, it was a shack of a house. Just 2x4 studs you saw. No insulation. Just a shack. And I remember that night as I slept between my oldest brother and my next to the oldest brother, because my oldest brother cared for me much. That as I looked down under the cover, this hand, and it was just as physical, real as this hand. It's not something out of Odyssey. It's reality. You understand that even the gates of hell reached up for this lad, but Yah will not allow it to be. He will not allow it. He will not. In my life as a young lad, it has always been one. I was faithful to my mother. I would give her every nickel. She would belittle me, degrade me. But that would solidify my love. Because I've always wanted to be loved. In order for you to get love, you must be kind. Love one another. Hallelujah. My wife cannot say I've done her wrong in these 31 years. I have not. No, sir. I've not abused her. I have not. Have I fussed at her? Well, sure I have. For our own strength. But I have not. And if I did one time, it would destroy the fiber and the integrity. I can never say that again. That doesn't make me great. It doesn't make me better than any man. It's just that even though I was as wicked as any man, Yah had his hands on this man, even as a lad, on me. And I bless him for that. And so he has entrusted me with his da'at, with knowledge, to discern, to understand. You may get by, but you don't get by. You may think you're hiding, but the cover shall be uncovered. You won't get by. You will not get by. Period. He said, my people are the destroyed, the doman, the destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We lack the knowledge of the enlightenment that cause us to rejoice in Yeshua. And because there are so rejoicing in him, that's why some of you all sit here dead. You're dead, you're lifeless. The song we sing, Yah has smile on me. Yeshua has made me free. Just to know you're free, when no slave was made free, his eyes are free. As a free man. Yes. Your hands smiled on me. Yeshua has made me free. Listen. Bound in sin, nowhere to go. Had no power to free myself, but Yah spoke in Yeshua, and now He's made me free. Hallelujah! Yah has smile on me. Yeshua has made me free. Your smile on me. Yeshua has made me free. The amazing word of Yahweh. How sweet is that sound? 10,000 years, it will still be the same. For the sweetness of Yah never changed. Hallelujah. You see, he smiled on me. That alone caused me to dance, caused me to shout. As I think where he brought me from, I have enough shoes that I could give 10 pair away. And we'll do it. But he has bestowed upon me the great riches that could never be procured through my own enterprising or my expertise. Only through the enlightening of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we're destroyed because we don't like the light. We don't like to be enlightened. We do not like the da'ats. The ability to be skillful. To know how to discern and understand. To see the lights. When it shines from Hoshimaim. That we may have the yada. The yada. The experience of knowing whom Yah is. Because we reject Yah, and because we have rejected, because we have rejected knowledge, Yah says, I will also reject you. You shall have, you shall be no Kohan, no priest to me. Seeing, understanding that you have Shakal, Shakal, you have forgotten. You have removed yourself. You have rejected. You have forgotten the Torah. You have removed yourself from listening to Torah. There is no want, no desire. There is no attention given to Torah. You don't want Torah. You all got time to talk to every Jezebel. I bring a Jezebel spirit upon you. That's why I love the character of this young man. If anything, let me say, we were talking the other day, he and I. And of course, I began to weep. And his tears began to fall. And he grabbed me like his avats. And he says to me, and I said, son, I want you to have a wife. So that was my agony. Him and Brother Randy, I do. He says, Pastor Roberts, I'm joined to you. I believe that. Hallelujah. I don't trust no man. I trust that man. I trust his words. All right. You don't have to trust any man. I trust what Hoshea speaks to me by the voice of Yah. I trust that. You understand? That's why we have no confidence in each other, because we don't trust. Hallelujah. So I trust. His words were a great strength and encouragement to me. Hallelujah. No, you will stand by your own. There's no physical birth connection there at all with him. It has to be begotten. It has to be the mind of Yeshua. It has to be real. He has to be able to understand and discern whether I am sincere out of Yah or I'm just a pretender and a pseudo man. And the only way he's going to notice that is by the fruits that bears from the tree. And there's only one tree, and that's Yeshua. We cannot draw the words from any other tree but the tree of life that dwells in Israel. He said, you have rejected. You have forgotten the Torah. You have shakal. You have ceased to be inspired by the word of Yah. You have literally made a case to forget it with your birthday cakes, your fat, greedy lusts, your lies, your pollution, your damnable practices. And now you have no sense of closeness to Yeshua. And because of that, you're subject to do anything that is vile, wicked. Because the conscious associate, it has no yare, no fear, no fear of your role. It doesn't honor Yah. There's no love for him. No man loves Yah unless the one keeps his commandments. You can't tell me you love me when you break so blatantly the commandments of Yah without any thoughts of repunity or to pay for what you've done. He said, love him with all. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. So if you defy his commandments, you don't give a damn about me. Don't tell me you love me. That's why I tell you, don't tell me you love me. I really don't like to hear that. When I say that, I mean it when I say it. I don't say it so cautious. I say it with great cautious, so carelessly. I mean, oh, I love you. Don't tell me that damn lie. When I say that, Brother Michael, Sister Michael, I never tell them that. And he had written to me, and I don't even talk to them much. I said, Brother Michael, Sister Michael, I said, I know I don't tell you how you all are Hava, I love you all. I said, even in writing this, make tears. See, I can't say it because it makes me cry. You understand? And I said, Brother, Sister, you all. They said, I want to say that I love you all so dearly and much. And I do, not because they said, all because they're faithful. They're very faithful. They're very faithful. They are. And so I want you all to know, I love you much. And don't make me cry, because even as I write, my eyes are getting watery, so I can't see how to type. And so it has been such a casual thing, Elder Wyman, that people say, oh, I love you. Evangelist Hartsfield told me, he said, Brother Roberts, because I was caught up in the same kind of foray actions, words. He looks at me one day. He says, don't tell me you love me. I will know in your deeds and your actions. And he said, when you tell me that, the enemy is going to challenge that to the depths. So don't tell me you love me, just love me. Oh, son. His words were words of wisdom. I was set at his feet to learn. You are not going to set the feet of nobody but for some gossip. Lies. And you seek inspiration by the wicked world out there. That's why you give your ear over, your spirit over unto. That's one thing this young man has never done. I don't care what you all say. Of all the men, he is one that has never done that. Do you all hear me? He is one that has not done that. He is one that has not done that. Will you promote him? Yes, I do. His virtue, his ability to speak to us. He emulates me. His vocabulary is almost like that. That's all right. I want my vocabulary to be like Shaul. And before Shaul, that was Hoshea. Before Hoshea, that was Obadiah. Before Obadiah, that was Yeshaya. I want to talk like them. I want to talk like them. I want to talk like Timothy. I want to talk like Philemon. I want to talk like those men. You understand? I want to talk like them. I want my vocabulary to be just like theirs. I want to emulate them. I want to persona the same things that they personified. Walk like I walk. Look at how I walk and my stature, the way I walk. Walk like that. That's all right. The world make the world's children do that, don't they? Pants hanging off their buttocks. Does the world train their children? Sure does. So I would train him as a son, as a valiant warrior. He get control of his attitude, then he'll get control of his ruach. Then he will be a mighty warrior. But it must begin that way. So I don't deal with him about you. I deal with him about him. His ears have not been polluted like many of you or most of you. Just hasn't. His ears have not. One thing, Sister Horn, that Evangelist Hartsfield said to me, even this dog down here in Walterboro, He said, all the men I met, this man has not been polluted with religion like men. Well, he didn't realize what he was saying because he was a religious pervert. It's okay. But he wasn't the first man to tell me that. You've had a heart for him, Brother Bell, out of Detroit, Michigan, big tall man like Brother Pat. Neat, clean. Hallelujah. Fit man, he's dead now. He died some years back. He would always strengthen, he would admonish, but he would always exhort me. Brother Roberts, the rest of the men, he would not talk like that. He would take time because when he would come, they would come, by the hundreds. But he would take time. He would steal away. Okay, come here. Just want to say a little to you, if nothing else. Come on, if I was looking for greatness, what, 30, 40 folks here? That's not the greatness of Yah. That's His word to pierce and to keep the remnant. I'm not trying to keep devils and demons in. I'm trying to keep remnant free from the world. I don't care about the devils. I want them out of here. And they will leave. You understand? I will not allow any of you all to work the spirit of sorcery here. I don't care who you are. Period. So the people of Yah, we're destroyed because we lack the da'at, the ability to discern the knowledge, and because we have forsaken the Torah of Yah. We have forgotten the huch, the statutes. Then we are people without discernment. I want to show us something. And I want to stop here in a few because physically, I'm all right here. That ain't in the best place, all right? It says here in Tehillim, in Psalms 19, as David speaks unto to us of the Naga, the enlightenment of Yah. And what the Naga of Yah does, it furnishes us with insight, understanding, refreshes us with delight. In the Torah, the word of Yah, it gives us this profound, spiritual, lively insight that the word of Yah is so alive that no one has to tell you to shout or to rejoice. No one has to tell you to dance in the rock. Hallelujah. I want Brother Yosef to dance like that until he can't dance. I watched him dance in his eyes, the tears. He says to me often, he'll extend his arms and say, I just love you, and the tears will flow from his eyes, and I believe that. I believe that. And I'll fuss in him. I'll fuss in me. I'll Sister Robert. I want to please you. And the tears will flow. It is so sincere. I will say, Brother Yosef, will you do that for me, please, sir? When he finished, thank you very kindly for taking care of that job. My pleasure. My delight to do it. I can't get any greater. Vahava than that, you understand. That is the strength of a man's love, because he is tender to me and kind. What can I do but be kind to him? It reciprocates that. And I watched the tears in his eyes, and he said, Pastor Roberts, I've always wanted to hear the strong kind of preaching to correct me. He said, the place I was in, the wife, the man that called himself the leader, he will say things that she will correct him in the pulpit. I said, you telling me that? She better not even say, don't even get close to it. Don't even think it. She better not do that at home. What I'm wrong, there's no man that will not say when he's wrong. My actions, my attitude. That's my strength. And that's a strength to be assured and give a reassurance. When I'm wrong, I don't admit it, then I'm a fool. I want to kind of close with this, but I am going to continue in this, the enlightenment of Yah. It says in Tehillim, Psalms 19, one verse I want to read. As David speaks, that's why he said to Cecilia, she read it. She read it without understanding. It was to say that she have read. I don't read. I read for understanding. I can read fast. I can read with speed. I can glance and get the depths of what I'm looking at. And there are things that I want to take my time and be very deliberate and get the small nuances when I read. So it says this in Tehillim as David speaks with this flowing river of life from him and this promise to come as he only sees it, but he doesn't see the physical form of it, of this HaMashiach. He says unto Yisrael in verse 8, he says that the piku or the hook or the statutes of Yahweh, they are Yasha, right. For the Tzaddik, righteousness of Yah, it is an everlasting one. So the statutes of Yah, they are that they are right, they are Yasha. And this is what they do. The Shemach, rejoicing. Is that what he says, rejoicing? Rejoicing what? The Lev, the statutes. That Yah gives you limitations, my brother, and tell you how far to go. Does it rejoice the Aima, the mother's heart, the Avak, the father, when he says, Dale boy, don't go beyond that. And he sees him there. He watches him. I looked at that little lad yesterday when I said, boy, you put the ball, you go home. Yes, sir. I see a little kid just growing in my... He understood that directive. And, yes, sir. I said, you have a pleasant night. He said, yes, sir. See ya. His stride was certain. He knew where he was going. Huh? No, he didn't look at dad and say, dad, no, put the ball down. You go on, boy. Yes, sir. I said, you have a pleasant night. You have a wonderful night, all right? Yes, sir. All right. I said, see you, my friend. Yes, sir. Boom! And just to see that. And so that's what the statues of Yah will do. It will rejoice. It will shemach. Rejoice. It will make the mind rejoice. These fools today don't have the statutes of Yah. Oh, foolish Kulushiyah. He was talking to Yisrael. Who have bewitched you? You should not obey the Torah. Whose eyes evidently Yeshua was in peril among you. And yet you have forgotten that. So that's what the statutes of Yah will do. He said they make the heart fat. It rejoices the lev. The mitzvah. The commandments of Yah. They are pure. They are ba. They're clean. They're pure. And this what his mitzvah do. It says what? It says what? It enlightens. It enlightens. Enlightening the what? The ruach, the eyes. You see, that's why men do not. These are the mitzvah. And from, listen, the mitzvah, we have the statutes. And from that we find the Torah, the law of life. That everything surrounds this. And everything is based upon this. And everything of the Torah governs this. Everything. And Yeshua is that life. He is that enlightenment. He is the ore. He is the light that shines down from Hashemayim. That is what he is, the light of Yah that shines down. He is the Nagah. He is the Nagah. He is the light. He enlightens us. When Yeshua shone down on Shaul, was he enlightened? Shaul. He did not speak in the tongue of the Englishman. He spoke in the tongue of an Ibram, a Hebrew. He did not speak in the Greek tongue. He did not speak with the damn Latin tongue. He spoke with the Hebrew tongue of the Shaul. And Shaul could have spoke Greek because there's a place in the book of Acts where he says unto the people where he began to talk in Greek. That's what it says. Even when the Yardims had him ready to do death unto him, he began to speak in Hebrew. And the scriptures say they listened more attentively. They gave their ear over to him even more. They say he speaks as one of us. He's a Hebrew. He speaks as us. And he was among the Gentiles, he could speak in Greek. So Yahshua did not speak a Greek language to him. He still speaks Hebrew. He still speaks Hebrew. So he spoke to him. And he was enlightened. He told him exactly where to go. Go down to the house on the street. And there's one Aranhaiha, the one that shall lay hands on you. And you shall become enlightened. Well, we have no honor for men when Yah told him to go to a man. Did he tell him to go to a man? Did he tell him to go to a man? Did he tell him to go to a man? Did he tell him to go to a man? Don't tell me we don't need men. They're the rock of Yah. Joel had great wisdom, but he was not enlightened by the power. The awe, the Naga of Yah had not illuminated him. That's our problem today. We have heard, but it has not been illuminated. We have not been illuminated. He went, did what he did. When he was enlightened, did he obey the Abba? When you're enlightened, that's why Yahshua says unto the Kephah, do you love me? He said, go feed me. Even when you are converted, when you are truly converted, then you go save Israel. Was Kephah a man? Did the people know what he knew? They had not been enlightened when he spoke to them. On the day of Shavuot, he stood up men and brethren. These men are not drunk as you think that they are drunk. But this is the power of Yah, the languages that they shall speak. Here's a meat speaking in the language of the Elamite. An Elamite speaking in the Syrian or in the Syrian tongue. Come on, Israel. Not this damn mess. Lies. He spoke formally and outright that the word of Yah, the excellence of the power of the visitation of Yahshua was made known unto Israel. You see, I love you more than you love me. She ignored me on last Shabbat. The sister writes me all the way from Texas. Says, Toda, bless you. For the strong preaching. She writes me back and says, how can I send my tithes? I will forget from week to week. But if I can put it on a credit card, I won't forget each week it comes to you. Well, you rejected it. She was dying in a thirsty place. When I told her to stay home and listen, join us in service. But I need to get out. I say, your fellowship is truly with the Abba and the Son. You join us. Well, she did not that week. Well, she joined us last week to take your bread. And she heard it. And said, what powerful preaching. So profound. A blessing. I must be immersed in the water, Pastor. I must find a way, someone in Texas, to baptize this sister. Hallelujah. Unless she makes her way here, she's there today. Come on up here. We'll put you in the creek out here. Hallelujah. 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 So it is the Torah. It is the Torah of Yah. It's mitzvah. They're pure. And they enlighten the eyes. It opened the eye is the light to the ruach, to the spirit. That's what caused light to shine in. To the eyes. When one eyes are darkened, no light shines in. And when the light shines, brothers, you all can tell when it's noonday around here. When the sun is almost at its zenith, its apex. You know when it's the noonday. You understand that. That is amazing that the summer, it is at its farthest point away from the earth. Strange, isn't it? And in the winter, its orbit around the earth is at its closest. It gets back so you can see and understand the visibility of Yah. Look, keep your hands up here. He's the one that causing your crops to grow. He's the one that blesses your wheat fields and your bread basket. I am so eternally thankful, if I must use that expression, unto Yah. I am. Above all things, I want to serve Him. I don't want to bring shame unto my Abba. No more than I want to bring shame upon you. I don't ever want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that there's a restored honor. And let me tell you, I won't allow you to do it either. I don't give a nickel's worth of rat's dung. Oh, yeah. Makes no difference. You all take someone's kindness for weakness. Don't think I'm weak because I'm not weak. Hallelujah. Let me read one last verse and I will continue on this. David says here in the sixth verse, Solomon, in the sixth verse of Mishli, Proverbs, verse 23. There are three verses I want to read, but these two are important. And I want to read one more from Yeshaya. It says in Mishli, Proverbs 6, verse 23. It says, for the mitzvah, the commandments. Listen. See, these are the commandments. So that's a lamp. The lamp. And the Torah is oil. It's light. The Torah is what enlightens us. It tells us of our retribution, our penalties for our sins. It tells us how to walk free. It tells us how to live free from the bondage and the captivity of sin. Yeshua is this light that shines brighter and brighter to the coming day of His return. And He tells us that reproof of instruction, Musa, other way of life. Why do we need the mitzvah, reproof, to keep us from the evil hope, the evil religious Artemis mindset? You and your damn birthday cakes, you and your Spider-Man toys and your spider drawers for your boys and spider shirts, you Jezebel, you coward man, get the damn trash out of these grounds. You better put it in the pit. I'm not coming to your house. It will go or you will go. I tell you that. I don't have to worry about it. That's why none of y'all have judged me, because it's your wicked, damn wicked kinfolks. The wicked pull a gift out of their bosom and pervert your judgment. So you can't judge your damn wicked mammy, your wicked sister. You can't judge them right, but you judge your brother or sister severely. I don't have nobody do nothing for me but Israel. I'm glad. I'm glad. I don't feel abused. I don't feel dysfunctional. I'm glad it's this way. I met the man that's my biological daddy. I'm more sad for him than all the years that I've never spent with the man. I'm not dysfunctional. I will not be abusive. I will train her in the things that are right when she gets out of hand. Tell her mother to spank her hard. And she will probably prefer me than over mama, because she will pull the skin off her hips. And do it right. Raise as a little daughter. She's getting a little older now, 8, 9, so my approach to her is a little different than it is with Sharal. You understand? 8, 9, 10, 11. She can have baby at 11. Do you all understand me? And so to bring in the fear of Yah, to nurture her like I promised her daddy, that's what I'll do. She gets old enough, she will rebel if you're around. Let her rebel to her own little damnation. That's what I would do. I don't even allow her to come in my house. We're just us. She's getting older. Sister Roberts is up there. Go up there. She'll knock. What do you want? I just want to be with you. Pastor Robert, Nathan is mean. Of course, I have to get on Nathan. Pastor Roberts, Bethany is sweeter than Nathan now. Go up there. Sister Roberts is up there. Up there was Sari. No, you don't play around like that. I don't want my tongue to be evil spoken of in this twisted generation. You understand? They take a little child like that and say, tell me how he held you. No, she gave me a little hug and that's it. And I'm on my knees when she gives me that. That's it. They will take her and do that. Just think about some of you all and some of those that were here. Some of the thoughts you thought that we would say that Pastor Roberts did that. He did this. I will, my brother. To their own damnation. That's why many of them are suffering. And hallelujah. I want to close with this. He says, to keep us from the evil woman, from the fiery of the tongue of the strange religious Jezebel. You understand? That's what keeps a man from being seduced and a man from going to seduce. The Torah of Yah. What a young man delights in that. One day, Brother Patrick said something to me. You always talk about him. No, I'm not. I talk about his soul. But him, lately we work together often. As a matter of fact, I said to Brother Allen, we were up this morning. I said, Brother Allen, this is just too much grass to be mowing. I need to do something to make sure this grass is utilized. I don't like mowing grass. So I made a suggestion. He said, that will work. He said, we'll do that. So he and I were out this morning. I know it's the Shabbat. We were not laboring. And so I paced it off. I said, how many do you get? I said, I got 390. Of course, I do that to make sure that there's more than enough. He said, I got 100 yards. I got 330. I said, 400 feet. I know what we need. And I said, we will do this. We will do that. I said, Brother Patrick and I will get this done. I said, Deacon Horn will be here on next Wednesday. I will start him on a job for me on an assignment. And I said, Brother Patrick and I said, I'll tell you what, we'll help Deacon Horn. We'll get this done and we'll do this. He said, we're going to have to dig. I said, well, Brother Pat, now we can do that with the post hole diggers. That tractor, that thing, man. That thing will break your back. He's on then that auger going around. You trying to hold that even with Big Daddy and me. You hit those stones down there, that will break your back. And he made the suggestion. I said, he said, Pastor, we can do it so precisely. We rip one of those little, what you call like with Deacon Horn, rhythm when we did the, I said, excellent idea. I said, Brother Patrick, I'll tell you what, we'll do it and we'll do it in a day. We put the sheep in here, be a nice place for them, put power here, and make sure the sheep take care of the orchard. Put something around the trees, we leave that alone, let it grow, they have something to eat when they begin the calf, kid. See, that's what you get when you brainstorm, you just free yourself to think. That's what we get. That's what we understand. And so, yes, I utilize him, and I speak of that because he has not allowed his mind to become inundated with the things that you allow to pollute you. You allow the wicked to give you things. Even in the book of Apocrypha, it talks about the wicked, how their gifts, how it alters one's perception to do what is right. Yeah. Hallelujah. I won't let them do that to me. Hallelujah. I don't want their gifts. Hallelujah. They have nothing to give me. And you will do things so unrighteous. You will hide your own wickedness. That's a vile thing. That's vile. You will hide your wickedness because their gifts ought to pollute you. They ought to alter your mind and to change your concept and your perceptions about what is right. Even about this man of Yah. I don't care what you think about me. It doesn't make any difference how you feel toward me. It means nothing to me at all. Hallelujah. Let me read this psalm and I close, all right? Not because I'm tired or weary, but I will. It says this in the book of Yeshaya, Isaiah. Turn there quickly. Turn to Isaiah, Yeshaya, chapter 8. One verse I want to read. I want all y'all to judge me according to this last verse. You judge me with great severity. And above all, you judge yourself. It says this. As Yeshaya speaks by the proclamation of Yah, he says to the Torah, and to the testimony, Tehuda. I like the way that sounds in Aramaic. Tehuda. If it's not according to the testimony, the confirmation, the propheticness of the word of Yah, he said, if they speak not according to this word, according to the testimony, Tehuah, Tehudah, or if they speak not according to the Torah, it is because there is no enlightenment, no awe in them. Okay, what any man says, if I speak not according to this, there's no light in me, brothers and sisters. Then you run. If I speak according to the Torah and the testimony of Yahshua, then there must be some kind of enlightenment and knowledge. But if I speak not according to that, and that's all I speak, then there is no light in me at all. None whatsoever. And we must have those who speak according to that, the Torah, the testimony of Yah. And we must begin to do it emphatically. But if we speak not according to the Torah and the testimony, then there is no light. There is no enlightenment in us. There's no discernment in us at all. No whatsoever. So I must speak according to that, brothers and sisters. I cannot speak in some other fashion. I must speak according to this. And if I do not speak according to this, then I have no light. May the riches of Yah, by the revelation of Yahshua, shine deeply in Israel. May He cause His abundance with Yah to shine upon us all, that we delight with great confidence and the revelation of His impact, His truth that makes us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth, it takes your mind and remolds it and reshapes it, and you're free. And whom Yahshua makes free is free indeed. And I'm free from the expectation of men. When I say that, I'm free, that I will not speak what men expect me to say. Hallelujah. I can't speak that about every man here, like this brother back here. I can't speak that about everyone. I can't say that. I can say he's been hard-headed, but his head is not hard as mine. Hallelujah. That's what I won't do with you. I'm going to cut with the sword. I am. I want to let us all know, brothers and sisters, I will not compromise, not even with her, when it comes to truth. I will not. She will go to hell kicking. And I will tell her to go to hell. I mean it. I'm not a false brother. Are you ignorant? Well, sure I am. Okay. How many of y'all know what a new nan is? So we all ignorant then to that, aren't we? All right. So we all have the capacity to be ignorant, don't we? All right. Hallelujah. Yah Barak, you all that are listening, may He strengthen you all. May the blessings of Yah rest upon you all. Bless you. Come on, Brother Patrick. You that are listening, may the Barak you all. May the blessings of Yah fill you now. May Yah enrich you all. Cause you to delight in His imats. Yahshua's mighty name. Bless you all. Bless you all, daughters of Zion, you sons of Israel. Hallelujah. I will pray for you all as the old one was saying, you pray for me. We'll finish this journey together, for we know that Tefillat, the prayer of Yah, changed things. Bless you all, Israel. Shalom.
Yeshua, to my left become a whole. For Yeshua, in all things we delight. For the Lashem, the bread, Yahshua's mighty name. Yah, please let your words press the bosom of Israel. Help us all, Yah. For we that are weak declare that we are strong. We that are poor are ruach. We declare the breath and the life of Yahshua. Bless us all, pray. Go with you, survive. Protect you, Israel, from the wiles of the enemy. As all things in Yeshua's mighty name. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.